Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Friends.
Just friends. And it is Friday and it is time for Jen's Friends. And today my friends are Emma Dorn and Kevin McGarren. Hello.
Hello, Jen.
Hello. Hello, hello. Okay, this is where we talk about the stories that got our listeners texting and calling like lunatics during the week. Okay. There's lots to talk about.
Hot topics.
Yeah.
So hot.
So hot. On Monday, listeners were in touch with their pretty traumatic childhood competition experiences because we were talking about Britain's Got Talent. There was this contestant who is still traumatized and shook 14 years later. Like, she's in therapy. She's
oh
not.
Oh my God, 14 years.
14 years later.
Wow.
Okay. So have you been through that? I mean, Emma, can you tell me about your first shot at stardom? Does that, you know,
yeah,
is that a memory burned in the back of your head?
I relate to this. I auditioned for Eurostar.
Sorry, what?
Eurostar.
Did Grania Shoiga present that?
I think so, with the big delay. Oh, do you remember the big delay was the phone lines are open. Different times.
What did you do?
So I went along to audition for Eurostar and it was back when I was about 15, 16. So think All Saints, the look,
right,
but on a budget.
String tops.
Well done, Kevin.
Yes, yeah. String tops, two pieces down the side. Okay, pennies, tracksuit bottoms. I had the gear on, ready to go. Went off on the bus, a few mates from school. We could have. Maybe we took the day off. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't think you're going to get in trouble for that.
No, it's fine now. My mum found all the notes I faked. It's all out in the open. But we were on the bus and there was a whole load of people going to the auditions. And it was like Fame, but in Dublin. So they were all like warming up and everything. I was like, oh, I'm totally out of my depth here. I went to the audition.
What were you trying to do? You told me what you were wearing. You brought your mates, but were you singing? Were you doing stand-up? Were you dancing?
I was singing. I sang The Rose.
Sing a bit there.
Dressed as someone from All Saints.
Some say love.
It's such a funny song to sing.
Well, somebody should.
It's such a funny song to sing, Emma.
It is. That is hilarious.
It is a river.
No, I'm not going to
stop
that
scene,
you there.
You know that scene in Napoleon Dynamite where the dude's in the classroom? It's such a lame song.
But dressed the way she was dressed. Like, surely you should have been in a cardigan and a skirt to your knee.
I know. I
should
have been doing a
hip-hop Dublin accent.
Yeah.
Some say love.
It is a hunger.
I mean, did you win?
I didn't get through. I only got to they have you in a little room before you get to like the judge's big room.
It's just the janitor hears you
first. I thought looking back at it could just be the way you process the trauma, but I thought it was Rick O'Shea, and I've been since told that it wasn't Rick O'Shea, but I was in a room with a man who I thought was like an RT kind of person. I think I auditioned for your
respect. Dusty Rhodes.
Okay, so you didn't get very far, but how did that experience affect you? I mean, well, you gave up singing, you became a comedian.
I gave up singing. I was just always fearful that I would end up on the show, that a clip would transpire from it. I'm still looking over my shoulder, so I'm trying to get ahead of it.
Okay.
Were you intimidated by the other contestants?
100%, because there was these girls from the north and they had like really
talent.
Good, yeah, they had really good makeup and hair, but they brought high heel shoes to wear for the audition. Do you know what I mean? They weren't walking around in the stuff they were going to audition in. I was just slinging around a bottle of Coke in my back pocket.
No,
have you got a light?
Talent. Have you got a light? Okay, so but that didn't stop you from pursuing it. you know, a life in the entertainment industry. Like, it didn't put you off, even though you were knocked back and
yes,
didn't get through. And
I kept going. Yeah, I'm a fighter. I should have sang that.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera, that would have been good.
It would have all made sense with the outfit.
I think I chose the wrong song.
I think you chose the wrong outfit.
Yeah.
Kevin, what about talent shows in your neck of the woods? Did they exist?
Well, we didn't have Eurostar or anything like that. We had Score, which was sort of like, it's an Irish talent competition if it was run by sort of Eamon De Valera. There was a lot of Irish trad songs, Irish trad singing, Irish dancing.
She would have done well in that.
You would have been like a 10.
Should have had a Bowron or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember, so I was in a ballet group with my mother. And it doesn't sound sexy at all. But we performed for a cancer benefit in Ballina, and Daniel O'Donnell was there.
Oh.
And we were all in the back room, and we were having some tea and buns, and Daniel O'Donnell came in, and it was like Christ arriving. It's all these old ladies, like, you know, putting down reeds on the ground so he didn't touch the floor. And he made a beeline for me, and I stood up, and he said, I hope you don't mind. I think you sat on something. And I'd sat on a bun. I sat on a bun, and he went to peel it off my arse, and I panicked and just called for my mother.
Good.
So my mother just came over and sort of spanked crumbs off my arse in front of Daniel O'Donnell as he just smiled and watched.
And that was the end of your crystal swing vibe with your band, with your mother.
I decided
that was
to, like Emma, to take a different direction.
Yeah.
And off you popped into comedy. It was as simple as that. Another one from the start of the week was when we heard from listeners about their trademark look after Joe Biden said he was a sunglasses and ice cream kind of guy, right? Kevin, you had a trademark look on Dancing with the Stars. Your red tracksuit featured many times in VTs.
That was mostly due to laziness, really. I rocked the red Adidas tracksuit for a while. I wore a lot of Hawaiian shirts in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked like a Miami cop who was on the take.
And where did that come from, the Hawaiian shirts? Because that's not a very
I realise now, I watched Ace Ventura a couple of years ago, and I was like, I think I actually based my style on Ace Ventura, which isn't...
Not tremendous. That bad. Well, no,
it's not tremendously cool, Jen.
It is now. Maybe not back then.
I remember after Fight Club came out, I tried to start a fight club in my school, and I shaved like a line into my eyebrow, like Shane Lynch.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know what that was about, but I thought it looked cool for a while, but people just made fun
would
of
you
me.
Would you have gone for a lad like that who would have shaved?
I'd say you
a
like
line.
Bad lads.
Bad lads. No, do you know, I can relate to the shave of the eyebrow, because my look was, I used to do this thing where I used to borrow my brother's razors when I was younger without telling them. When I started shaving, but I didn't know how to do it properly, so I wouldn't like use any foam or anything like that. I'd just shave a dry leg.
Lovely.
Like a raw chicken, basically. And I just end up with these cuts all over my shins. So that was kind of my trademark.
Yeah, that was your trademark look. Oh,
bloody legs, Emma.
So sexy. On Tuesday, we heard about sentimental, valuable stuff that listeners had lost. Have you ever lost anything of any value or sentiment?
Self-respect.
I'm one of those people that loses things all the time.
Yeah, me too.
And I had a present my dad gave me, a Gucci watch.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm. Real.
Well, I went to, I was playing sport in school and we had to take off all our jewellery, and I left it there. I hadn't collected it. I went back to get it the next day and it was gone. And we had to describe the jewellery to the teacher, and I was like, the rings, and I was like, and I had a Gucci watch, and there was a big like inquest in the school, and it was over the intercom, and the Gucci watch.
Was there posters put up with the drawing of the watch?
The Gucci watch!
And then I found out years later that my dad had bought it in Chinatown.
Ah, yeah.
In New York.
Of course.
So there was, and I think it was Gucci, G-U-C-C-I-I. But it was sentimental.
It was. Absolutely sentimental.
But I could have gotten.
You never got it back anyway.
I could have got a crate.
Kevin, what happened to your beloved PJs?
Oh, yeah. I remember I had a pair of onesie jammies when I was a child. Like purple onesies, and then they went missing, and then I found out my dad used them to clean oil off an engine, and I was like,
were you devastated?
I mean, I was, but I couldn't show it.
No,
because I think it was his way of telling me, you're too old for jammies.
Is this because
you
were in
a
band?
Here's a pair of boxers and a razor.
But I love that you still say jammies.
Yeah, I know. Is this because you were in a band with your mother? I was
16 at the time.
Did you have a name for your band?
Jammies.
No, not really. No,
Kevin, and what's your mom's name?
Una.
Kevin and Una.
there was a few more people in the town in it. It's like Jerry. There's a few more of my cousins.
Jerry,
my cousin,
and 57 cousins. Oh, if anybody knows Kevin has a picture of that, I'd love to see it.
Like, I had a beard at the time.
I'd say you had a beard at 5 years of age, Kevin.
Like, I wasn't that,
you're the
I wasn't
hairiest
that
bloke I've ever met. Just all hair. We're going to take a quick break. I have to come back and talk about tests for a new partner. Those, you know, those tests you put partners through to go, oh, are they the one? Well, let me introduce you to my father and see, do they get through that? And also bad movie lessons. I know you're a big movie buff, Kev, so we need to talk about that. We'll be back. Friends. Ah, yeah. I'm just sitting here chatting to me friends about the stories of the week and things that got you texting in and calling into the show on 51552. One thing we were talking about earlier in the week was the red line when it comes to a test for a new partner. I mean, what is the line? What is the thing that you go, I don't know if they're going to cut it, you know, with my family or were there telltale signs? Emma, you said something happened to you on your first date and you thought, oh, he'll be okay. That's a test. He's passed.
I didn't even know until I heard the words come out of his mouth. We're on the first date and he said to me very early on, he said, I'm the most unambitious man you'll ever meet. And I was like, do you know what? I was like, I like that. He's not trying to sell me anything. Well, he was. But yeah, I was like, sign me up.
Wow.
I believed him. And he was telling the truth.
That's amazing. I mean, I was telling the story earlier on in the week of Leo's nan put me to the test. Because sometimes you're not just tested by your partner, you're tested by their family.
Yeah.
And she's an old Italian woman and she was like, if she doesn't eat what I'm going to put in front of her, I'm going to make her life hell until she leaves Leo. So I and he told me that. He said, just eat everything she puts in front of you. Yeah. Eat the pasta, the pre-pasta, the after-pasta, the main dinner, the salad on the side, the massive custard cake she's going to give you.
Oh my God.
But don't drink too much wine. Okay, so that was a bit of a problem, but I did. I ate everything. And I asked him, why? Is it because, you know, everybody sits around the table and conversations were there for hours? He was like, no. Her thought process was, if you don't eat well, you don't cook well, and you will not cook well for my grandson.
Wow.
Yeah, old Italian, you know, old Italy, like that kind of vibe. Yeah, they get away with it because they're so small and cute, I think. And they're called nonna.
So you know? your usual sort of dinner plans would be a small bit of pasta and two bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to totally flip that.
Yeah.
Had to totally.
But it's very Irish mammy-esque. I think Irish mummies kind of do that.
They would
as
have
well.
Had more wine on the table.
Okay.
They would have had more wine on the table.
Swap pasta for spuds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
spuds. You're married.
I am.
And you keep banging on about your lovely wife every time I see you. She is lovely.
She's lovely. I'm mad about her. I do remember, like, I inadvertently passed a test. Well, no, I failed a test, but she still stuck with me, which is a good sign.
What was the test?
It was more of a culture, or I was just totally uncultured when I first met her. I was about 19 and we went for cocktails, which I thought was very adult, and then I bought a bottle of wine, brought her back to the flat, and I put a bottle of red wine in the fridge, and she was just like, what are you doing there? And I was like, I'm just putting wine in the fridge.
Yeah,
it's nicer cold, right? And it's like, you don't put red wine in the fridge.
19.
And at that point the only wine I'd really drank was Buckfast.
Yeah,
and that's lovely in the fridge. But she said, the fact that I didn't leave you at that point, I was like, okay.
That was a big turning point.
Something special here.
And she took you under her wing.
She taught me how to cook,
how
to drink
live,
wine,
how to clean.
How to clean the bathroom.
How to wash yourself.
You have to wash the sheets more than once a year, apparently.
Yeah, you do. You do.
So,
thank God for Siobhan.
She turned me into the man I am today.
Thank God. Thanks, and Siobhan. She saw past
job.
That. So that wasn't a red line. She saw past that. She goes, I can deal with this. If this is the only thing, you know.
She's
I
like
can...
any other guy, I would have left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you in your Hawaiian shirt?
Yes.
Probably.
My beard.
Probably. Now, you're a big movie buff. You watch a lot of movies, Kev. I know that. Probably during the day, I expect you.
Not anymore, not since I have kids. Can't do movies during the day anymore.
Hate that! Because you have to get to a certain age before you can go back to that, isn't that right, Emma?
Yeah, my nine's good.
On Wednesday, listeners were in touch about just bad things we got from movies, problematic views, like Pretty Woman or The Little Mermaid. I mean, Grease is, I love Grease, I love the music. My daughter, she sings it in the car. But she's like, what's it about? I said, well, it's about this girl who changes her whole persona, her life, her hair, her clothes, her voice to satisfy the fella in her life. And she took up smoking. Problematic, I would say. Little Mermaid, forget everything your family and friends are saying. you know, go against your father and, you know, give up everything, even your voice, to run after a lad.
Literally
who,
your voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Your ability to speak.
Who lives in a castle, you know? So there's problematic, there's lessons there.
The thing
know?
About the Grease thing as well, like if you were going out with a girl and let's say you were into heavy metal and leather jackets and she was into, you know, petticoats or whatever, what is she wearing that? And then she turns up wearing a leather jacket, smoking a fag, like you'd start laughing. Like it's not, you would not think, oh man, I'm so turned on
by this 37-year-old woman.
You've changed your entire personality. You'd just be like, oh, here, take that off. Like, come on,
but you're not
silly.
Do you think for like acting as well, like the actress who played Rizzo, like she was in her late 30s. So I thought, it'll be grand when I get older because they'll still let me play 16-year-olds.
Yeah, they don't anymore. Was it Kinnicky? Who's allowed at all that kind of pockmarked skin? Like he looked like 40.
Yeah, they all did. There was huge problem, but we loved it.
Love Actually. I have a big problem with Love Actually. You've seen Love Actually?
Yes.
We've all seen Love Actually.
Like, you can't, because I couldn't. It's on telly all
the
time.
I knew it was like a big hit and it was on one Christmas. I started watching it and I was like, wait a second, is the main character, like he's in love with his best friend's wife. Mm-hmm. So he arrives to the gaff with signs and he just tells her to lie to her husband as a way to steal her. Like that is rotten behaviour. If you're at a wedding and you fancy the bride, just shut up.
Don't say it.
Shut up.
Don't.
Oh, people are always kicking off at weddings and movies. Everyone's objecting all the time.
It's not cool.
And it's meant to be romantic.
There's
it's
a lot
not.
Of planning goes into a wedding.
That's a lot of money. Let me get married and then we'll sort it out. Yeah. Don't be ruining the day
the
for me.
The Italian family has come the whole way over to Donabate or wherever Jen is from.
But Kevin, is it as bad for guys as it is for women, you think, these lessons in rom-coms? I
think the guys are the big problems in rom-coms because rom-coms are written by like lonely nerds and the main character is always this lonely nerd who's a total loser and then he gets the hot girl in the end through hugely problematic behaviour. It's not cool. Like 16 Candles is, if you watch 16 Candles now, man.
American Pie is creepy.
American Pie is creepy.
Oh, it's so bad.
Like the R word is just all over anything written before now. But remember in the one at Ryan Gosling where he's like,
yes. Notebook.
He's the Notebook. He's hanging from a ferry-go-round. What do you call that thing?
Oh, the Ferris wheel.
He's hanging from a Ferris wheel and he's threatening to kill himself if she doesn't go out on a date. And it plays out really well from like, don't try that, guys.
But according to
like, if you look like Ryan Gosling, you can get away with it. But if you look like Steve Buscemi,
like 50 Shades of Grey, if he was some lad that lived in a bedsit and had no money, he'd be arrested. But
if you look like Elon Musk, you'd be like, get away from me, you creepy baby headed man.
So strange.
And Emma, did rom coms of the past did they give you the wrong lessons about love?
I mean, did it take
a while for you to cop on?
I think so. Like, I mean, according to movies, if I was to take my hair down now, I'd be
gorgeous.
I'd be gorgeous straight away. Yeah. If you wear glasses, forget about it. But if you take them off,
stick on them glasses there.
Yeah. See what happens when I take them off.
No, it's different. It's different for men and women.
Yeah. Oh, for yes,
isn't it?
Emma is currently wearing my glasses, and I want to get sick in my mouth.
Men who wear glasses in movies of the past, if they wear glasses and took them off, they're like Clark Kent. They're like, holy moly,
who's this guy?
Who's this guy? But women, if they wear glasses, they're more intelligent. Like I would not wear my glasses on Dancing with the Stars, but I wear them if I'm doing a quiz show.
Just so you know, Jen has no lenses in her glasses right now. She wears them to make it look like she did her leave-in cert.
I was constantly going around. You know the way in movies, they're always dropping all their books and their folders. And I was constantly just, nobody was helping me pick them up.
No.
That's how everyone meets the love interest.
That's how you do a meet cute.
Yeah, it doesn't work
here. Lads, I got a text in. It says, hi Jen and team, will you tell Emma I'm going to see her on Sunday with the girls. I can't feckin' wait. Woohoo, love yous. That's from Aveen. Where are you on Sunday?
I'm in the Civic. In Tala.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's going to be a good one.
Okay, is there tickets left?
No.
Okay, lovely. Pointless mentioning it.
So fair play to you, but there are tickets for other gigs.
Okay,
so
Aveen, people get that.
Aveen, if you want to sell those tickets, you make a sweet
profit. No,
Aveen,
I'll see you there on Sunday. I'm in Vicar Street in September. I'm in Cork. I'm in Galway. emmadorancomedy.com.
And your podcast.
And another thing.
Very funny.
Mirren, I'm trying to get her cancelled.
Ah, yeah. It's only a matter of time. Kevin, have you come down from the whole Dancing with the Stars thing? I have to ask you. I haven't seen you since your shock exit.
I know, my shock exit.
But isn't it funny when you're out of it, then it's like, oh, who won? Who went? Like, it doesn't matter. It's all a bit of a blur.
Yeah, like, I mean, Matthew, Laura's boyfriend, Matthew really prepared me for this. He was like a week later, nobody gives a S-H-I-T-E. And I was like, I couldn't, because when you do something for 4 months every single day, I don't care if it's like a Tiddlywinks competition, it seems like the entire world is mad about Tiddlywinks. And then when it's ended, like, everyone just moves on immediately.
So quickly.
Yeah, it was a big come down, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what are you doing? But I'm down a belt.
No, absolutely not. I'm down a belt size, which
belt
is good.
Size, okay.
Was the money good?
That's good. Down a belt size.
I haven't got paid yet, actually.
Oh, listen, don't even go there. Don't even go there.
That's why I'm in here. I want Jen to put in a good word with the finance department.
Always. Me and the finance departments were like that. Crossing my fingers were like that. Kevin McGahern and Emma Doran, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us today about all the big topics that, you know, went on during the week. And you'll be back soon, won't you?
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Hi, guys.